Bethany.
What?
Before we get started.
Yeah.
Can you remind us to take a deep breath?
Oh, yeah. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. We all need it. Oh, my back just cracked from breathing.
Gank.
Hey, honey, I'm home. It's time for your pegging.
Has anything ever been so funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now. We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast, the podcast for people who know when to give themselves a timeout, whether because you've been misbehaving or because you need to get away from people for a while. I am Bethany. This is my co-host, Kathleen.
Hello.
Hello. And we hope that if you are a Christmas celebrator, that you had a great Christmas.
Yes.
We are recording this way before Christmas, but we are releasing this, what, 2 days after Christmas?
One day after Christmas,
I believe. Okay. So, you know, happy Christmas. I hope it was awesome.
I hope it was just fine. That's the Christmas card I got in the mail from Bethany.
Yay. I think we can post it now. We'll post a picture of the Christmas card I sent out. I love it so much.
It said, hope your holidays are fine.
I took a picture of, I had to take two pictures. The photo that you see is me looking dour in a high collared white shirt with a ribbon around my neck.
You're very serious, mm-hmm. very Victorian-esque.
Mm-hmm. Holding a kitten in one hand, a kitten in the other hand. We're all just staring at the camera, sadly. but if you know anything about cats, you know that they don't do that. They don't not squirm. And so I had to take a picture with one cat looking dour and then take a picture with the other cat looking dour and then cut out my arm in a cat and fuse it onto the other picture.
Photoshop magic. Mm-hmm. I was so excited to show my husband your Christmas card. I ran home. I ran up the stairs. I said, hello, look what I have in my hand.
Did he like the card?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. We laughed and laughed and then we cried and then we laughed.
This is what happens when you're a grown up without kids.
Yeah.
Like, what do you put on your Christmas card? Gotta have fun.
I think the fact that you send out a Christmas card, not only with a photo of you, but also with your cats, and you make it funny, and I don't send Christmas cards out at all, even though I really want to, that's the balance between you and me.
I didn't send them out last year.
I have Christmas cards from 2013 that still need to be stamped.
You should send those.
I really should.
Oh, like a time capsule. Mm-hmm. I would love to receive a 2013 Kathleen Christmas. Like, you did to see what was going on.
I love the Christmas cards that you read online, the ones that go viral where whomever is writing it, mom, dad, whatever.
Yeah.
They are brutally honest.
That's like, amazing.
Sarah dropped out of college, even though she was only in community college and it wasn't that hard. And Brad got arrested for a small amount of marijuana, but still costing the family a lot in legal fees.
See, I wish I had someone in my family who did that. So there's one member of our family who sends out these famous Christmas cards because they're a page or two single spaced of everything that's happened in the family's life.
Yeah.
But they're not self-aware at all. And so they're just boring.
Yeah.
And it's every detail that this person thinks is important has nothing to do with this person's partner until like one paragraph. The partner gets like, oh, so-and-so still likes his job.
Mm-hmm.
But she just details like the pond out back and what's growing in it. And she details like how her flight back in February was.
People do not care.
But we have taken to caring because it's so boring. But here's the thing. I don't get that card. My sisters do and my family, but I don't get it because I'm not married. And so they don't send the card out to unmarried family members. So even though I'm older than my younger sister, she gets the card and I don't. So
what?
Yeah. So I don't. Yeah. So I don't get to hear about it until I come home for Christmas. Someone brings it and reads it to me.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. My husband has an aunt who makes all of the children these really adorable felt ornaments every year. And it says their name and the year. So like I think last year was
2017.
Last year was the bird.
Okay.
A bird for 2017. But because we don't have children, he still gets his. Once you have children, you stop getting the felt ornament.
Oh, this is amazing. It's like staying 26 forever and being on Obamacare.
I wonder when his aunt is 80 and we're in our 50s and we don't have children still.
It is funny that there's something that just like clicks in for people in families. Like this is when you stop or start getting a thing.
Yes.
And if you don't follow follow the mainstream path, that change never clicks in.
So funny.
I'm lucky I'm at the adult table and not the kids table. I get my family stuff.
You know, I have this theory about Christmas cards. The people who share the most details are the unhappiest.
I have to agree.
Just like Facebook statuses.
I have to agree.
Why do you need to post on Facebook every day?
I think that, especially with like relationship stuff.
Yeah.
I think because when I was the most unhappy in my relationship, I was posting about love more than ever because I needed to remind myself mm-hmm. what I liked about my partner. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we broke up like 2 months later.
Oh.
So if you think you're in love, you're probably going to break up.
I really, truly love going through, like, you know how sometimes you haven't been on Facebook in a while and something pops up and you're like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that person's existence.
Yeah.
And then you click on their profile and you're like, hey, what happened to their husband? Or hey, what happened to their wife?
Yes.
I love going back through their timeline and pinpointing exactly when they got divorced.
Like when things started going wrong.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's so fascinating. There was a girl that I used to work with and she married one of our coworkers. And I always had a crush on that coworker. And so that's why I was like kind of always pinged her. Lost touch for a while, went back, found her Facebook. That coworker was nowhere to be seen and she was at a new wedding with someone else.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm not happy for a divorce, but it's a fascinating study of human behavior.
Can I tell you, this is the craziest thing ever. A friend of a friend of a friend of a friend.
Okay.
I don't even know this person.
Okay.
She was on her bachelorette party recently.
Uh-huh.
And she gets a text. It's a weekend away bachelorette party. All of her girlfriends had to get on a plane. And she gets a text from a stranger that said, your fiance was cheating on you with my ex-girlfriend while you were engaged.
And she gets this at her bachelorette party?
Yep.
Oh, no.
They're still getting married at the end of this month.
No!
Yes, they are.
Did she call the fiance on it?
She did.
Was it dude?
Yeah.
And what did he...
And he admitted to it eventually. And I mean, and I'm only hearing the story through the grapevine.
Oh, but I'm sure it's accurate.
It's 100% accurate.
Totally accurate.
And he admitted to it. It's one of his reasons was really shitty. And they're still getting married.
I have to believe, though, that there's this feeling of we've invested all of this time, all of this money.
Yep.
Like the plane is going down the runway.
Yep.
And
there's no turning back.
There is, but it's going to be very hard to turn back now versus, I don't know if I would think in my head, like, let's just go through with it and then get it annulled.
Yeah.
Right. Like sort of like a public proposal. If someone proposes to you in public on the Jumbotron and you don't want to marry them.
My worst nightmare.
I think a better thing to do is to like... I think I would say yes so as not to mortify the person and make them go viral.
Yeah.
And then I think calmly talk to them like the next day and say like, look, I really am not, but I didn't want to embarrass you.
It's not going to work out.
Yeah. Because I would hate to be the person proposing.
At what point does it become more embarrassing to get divorced immediately after getting married or to call off the wedding?
I think it's more embarrassing... I think it's more embarrassing to get divorced right away.
There should be a social campaign. Somebody needs to get on this where hashtag call off the wedding.
Yeah.
Where it becomes like a social norm.
Yeah. Just call off that wedding.
Like it should become something that we talk about freely. Like things that were once considered faux pas.
Yeah.
That people are talking about more like miscarriages or postpartum depression.
Yeah. Take away the stigma of calling off that wedding.
Yeah. Or social anxiety or that kind of stuff.
I think you're totally right because it really is like we're joking about it a little bit. It is very dramatic to call off a wedding.
It is very dramatic.
I think I would choose that option only because of the drama. I called off my wedding. But there really is something to be said for choosing yourself and your happiness over something you know is wrong.
Yeah.
And I know several people who said walking down the aisle, they knew it was wrong. And like, it's okay to really check in with yourself and say, I got caught up in this or this seemed right or...
And it's not right anymore.
And
that's
right.
100% okay.
It's like sex.
Yes.
You can be having sex and then it not feel right and you are allowed to stop it. Like, I think you are allowed to stop it whenever.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
100%.
That's a really good point. End the stigma of calling off your wedding. just to like, just to empower yourself, even if you're happily engaged, call off that wedding just to show that you can.
I wish that I had used the money to get married for a house instead of getting married.
You'd still be with Neil, right?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
But I would have eloped.
There is something really romantic about like the courthouse wedding.
Yes, I agree.
Like Emily Rakowski, is that her name?
She's a actress.
Yeah, and she was like famously naked in the Blurred Lines video.
Oh, yes.
She got married in the courthouse in this fabulous orange suit and like this big hat, and she looked awesome, and there's just like, there's something really,
it's romantic.
Romantic, yeah.
So did Carrie Bradshaw, yes, in the first Sex and the City movie.
She sure did, in her shoes.
Yeah, she got caught up in the hoopla, yeah, and then Big sort of ditched her at the altar, sort of.
I'm still not over that.
I know.
Grow up.
Grow up.
Just grow up.
Because he still wanted to marry her.
I'm not even a Sex and the City, I never watched the show.
You should.
I just watch the movies.
No, you should watch the show.
Okay. So today's episode is going to be just kind of loosey-goosey. We're going to talk a little bit about surviving slash enjoying parties as an introvert, because I, yes, know a lot of us are introverts and we have New Year's Eve coming up. We're going to talk about that, but we're just going to kind of talk about the year and whatever. It's you know, everyone's shut down. You're probably hungover or avoiding your family right now. So
it's sort of a wrap-up episode.
Yeah, just time to check in.
It's been a crazy year.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I guess we always say that every year.
Yeah, it's been this is a tumultuous podcast.
It has been a tumultuous year for this podcast.
But we're strong and we're so happy and we're good.
We're resilient.
And we're coming back next year, so don't you even worry about it.
Mm-hmm. If you're still buying holiday gifts.
Yeah.
Because there are some people you don't see until the middle of January that you buy a gift for.
And those are the people I love, because it means you can put off buying their gift for a lot longer.
Yeah. Run, do not walk, to FabFitFun.com. .com.
Run to your internet.
Because this is the coolest product out there.
Before we even started recording the whole podcast, Kathleen and I were talking about our FabFitFun boxes, because they are not just a subscription box where you get like these tiny little two-time use bottles of lotion or something.
No way.
It's a seasonal subscription box delivered 4 times a year with full size products. They're fashion, beauty, home, fitness, wellness, and it's just $49.99 a box. And a lot of the products' individual retail value is more than the entire cost of the box.
I would be so thrilled to get this as a present.
Whenever it shows up at my house, I'm legit excited, because it's, and you see people posting all the time on social media about it. You see their YouTube videos dissecting it.
Yeah.
Like this last time we got a jade roller. We got
this delicious Mark and Graham throw. Mm-hmm. It is so soft. It lives on my couch now permanently.
Yep, same. We also got mittens and like this ear wrap thing to keep you warm during the winter. And then this face mask that's super hydrating, and you can leave it on for a little bit or you can sleep with it on, which is what I did. And yeah, it just like super moisturizes your face overnight.
You know, the last couple FabFitFun boxes that we got, there's been at least 3 or 4 products in those boxes that now I buy regularly.
Yes.
Because I say to myself, how did I live life without this amazing product?
Oh, my other favorite one from this last season, which I'm definitely buying more of, is the Black brand under eye,
yes,
little masky guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're like these little, they feel like rubber or silicone or something, and they're covered in like hyaluronic acid. You put them under your eyes and then you know, leave them on for a little while and you go about your day. They're awesome and so strange. I've never seen anything like them, but I love them.
Yes.
So sign up for FabFitFun today. FabFitFun boxes make amazing gifts for the holidays. And if you use our code TASTE, you can get $10 off your first box. So go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use the promo code TASTE to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 of stuff for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com, use our code TASTE to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box.
Buy yourself a gift and make sure that gift is FabFitFun.
Okay, so Kathleen, can we talk for a second about parties and introversion?
Absolutely.
Okay, because this is my nightmare. And I was at a party the other night, and as I was talking...
Wait, you went to a party?
I did. It was literally...
I'm a little bit shocked.
I was asked to come because they needed bodies. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I will do this thing for this person that I care about.
Okay.
Did
you talk to people?
Yes. Yes. I like put on my extrovert face.
Okay.
And I was like talking and did a little mingling. Mostly I like posted up and talked to some people. Mm-hmm. And everyone at this party was someone that I liked, and I was still exhausted. Mm-hmm. And as I was talking to this person who I'm like, you're amazing. I just met her that night, but she's awesome. And I want her to be my friend. Even then I was thinking to myself, why do people like parties? Because unless someone is there that I want to make out with, and I think there's a good chance I'm going to be able to make out with them, uh-huh, I don't know what the purpose of a party is.
Yeah.
Because it's exhausting. And I know, Kathleen,
I go to a lot of parties.
You like a party.
I do like a party as long as I have something good to wear. If I don't have anything good to wear, I probably won't go.
So is that what a party is for you, is a chance to dress up?
Exactly.
Okay. And then while you're there, what is happening that you're enjoying yourself about?
I like drinking.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
I like talking to friends.
Okay. What? Why? And I'm not trying to be glib. Like, as an introvert, I literally, which is funny to say on a podcast because this is what we do. We just talk to our friends. But mm-hmm, like, I don't understand, like, why can't you just talk to them not in this giant social setting?
So I'm very lucky to have a really intelligent group of girlfriends. Like, they're all really smart. And I like going to parties to talk to them about ideas.
Mm.
Because I think that there are two types of people in this world. The type of person that talks about other people.
Yes.
And that doesn't necessarily mean they're talking crap about other people.
Right. And sometimes talking crap about other people is super fun.
And necessary sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. And therapeutic. But I have girlfriends who all work in different industries. They are all well read. They watch the news. They listen to podcasts. They read books. And we just talk about ideas.
Okay. All right. Now, let's say you're like at a family event.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy those? Like people you haven't seen for a while, maybe like aunts or uncles, cousins?
The family one is not so applicable to me because my side of the family is very small.
Uh-huh.
My husband's side of the family can sometimes be overwhelming.
Yeah.
And that's when I go find myself a corner.
Yeah.
But you have a pretty big family.
Yes.
So, and you don't live near any of your family.
Right.
So how does that work for you? Because I see my family a lot.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to figure out and learn is why extroverts love parties, or why like even people who are like kind of both introverted and extroverted like parties. I love seeing my family. And I think it's because it's for the same reason you love your friends.
Yeah.
Is because they're all brilliant. Mm-hmm. And they're also all funny.
Yeah.
And so we just sit and everyone makes like smart, funny jokes. We just laugh, like we all get each other. But larger family gatherings, as much as I'm obsessed and adore everyone in my family, those I also find tough because I don't have that rapport with them where I can completely let my guard down.
Yeah.
And so it can be a little bit harder.
Yes. So I think extroverts like parties. Like, yes, you know how there are just some people who, if they're walking by a house and there's a party inside, they're, yes, like, hey, let's go in.
My mother.
Really?
And she's done it before.
Extroverts like that, I think they have so much energy that it's like going to yoga.
Yeah.
And taking a deep breath for them, talking to people, hugging people, shaking hands,
yeah,
joking with people, coming up with things to talk about.
I'm so envious because it does. It rejuvenates them and builds them up. I'm so envious of an extrovert.
You know, when I don't know somebody, I have a tough time walking into a party where I don't know anybody. I once had a panic attack outside of a baby shower where the only person I knew was the bride.
Oh gosh.
And she probably thought I was the biggest a-hole ever because I show up to her shower like an hour and a half late just because I was crying in the car. I couldn't go in.
Yeah. Oh, honey.
I always rely on a crutch that I use when I meet somebody that I don't know. I always talk about jobs.
Yep.
And
I think a lot of people do that.
I think I need to stop doing that.
Yeah. It feels like the least offensive personal question to ask. You're, you know, like,
oh, what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's a segue into like another conversation. But you're right. There are other questions to ask. But I think a lot of people do that. What I'm leading to is that as we like are heading into New Year's Eve, and a lot of people are doing New Year's Eve parties, for our introverts out there and also for our extroverts, I was doing Google research and I was trying to figure out not how to get through a party, but how to enjoy a party.
Okay.
Because what's the point of going to a party if you're not going to enjoy yourself, mm-hmm. right? And everything I found regarding introverts, it was always how to survive a party. And survive is a word used for like war.
Or being lost in the forest.
Yeah, it's never a fun thing. And I could not find anything. And they had good tips for like, how to survive the party, like make an appearance and leave, or like make a connection with someone ahead of time, or like decide when you're going to go so that you know when you get to leave, or like sit in the corner and meet other introverts. Like those are all things for surviving. But like, I could not find anything on how to have fun.
So you just want to learn how to enjoy a party.
Yes. So I made a list. Okay. I was my own resource. Mm-hmm. So for my fellow introverts out there, this is how to have fun at a party as an introvert.
Okay.
9 things you can do. Okay, ready?
I'm nervous for you.
No, it's actually, I'm really proud of myself.
Okay.
Okay, number one, mm-hmm. give yourself a list of words beforehand, and some of them have to be just like insane words. Like, you know,
onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia, Portchester. Like, give yourself just like a word.
Forlorn.
Yes, forlorn is a great one. See if you can slip each word into a conversation throughout the night. Like 10 words. Once you get through all 10 words, you get to leave.
What if you do that with a celebrity?
What do you mean?
Just, yeah, I don't know, slip Jerry Seinfeld into the conversation whenever you can.
Absolutely.
Or maybe like a more polarizing celebrity like Mel Gibson. That's the real challenge.
Yes. See if you can do that without bringing the whole party down.
Matt Lauer.
So how you feel about Matt Lauer? And then if they say they're ready for his comeback, you know it's time to leave the party.
Oh, snap. Yes.
That's a bad party. Okay, number 2, find the pet. Take selfies with the pet.
Absolutely.
Always find the pet. Number 3. Offer to be the party photographer for the night, even if it's just with your phone. Everyone's going to love you because everyone loves to have their picture taken, but you have an excuse to keep moving around and leaving conversations because you have to get pictures of everyone.
Love that.
And then challenge yourself to get really good, candid pictures of people laughing because those are the best pictures. Everyone's going to love you. It's the best thing to do is just be the photographer. Keep moving around.
So what I do is I go, okay, now everybody laugh.
Yeah, exactly. And then they fake laugh, but then they start really laughing. Yes. Because it's so stupid.
Fake laughing is funny. Oh,
it's the best pictures. Okay, number 4. See if you'd be able to get away with stealing something.
Ooh, yes.
Don't actually steal it.
No.
But just see if you're sleuthy enough that you would have been able to steal it.
I was at a party once where I could have stolen somebody's Emmy.
What?
I know.
Wait, can you say whose party it was?
Yes. So my friends Lauren and Rebecca, they had a St. Patrick's Day party years ago. And you know what? I'm very good friends with them now. I wasn't good friends with them then. I had never met them before. But my friend Pam dragged me along and she's like, okay, we're going to go to this party, blah, blah, blah. So I walked in. There are tons of people there. Like a small apartment, there are at least 50 people in this apartment. And sitting on the shelf next to the TV was Lauren's Emmy. She's a TV producer.
Oh my gosh.
So I took selfies with the Emmy and was posting it on social media.
And like, could have easily just put it in your purse.
Easy. I was like, I'm at a party with an Emmy.
Do you remember what the Emmy was for?
She is a sports television producer.
Ah, that's so crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do that. See if you could have stolen something. Don't steal anything.
No.
But you just could have. Mm-hmm. Okay, I love this one. This involves a little bit of pre-production. Learn about body language. Like, study it. And then study the body language of the people at the party. Try to find people who are actually uncomfortable, but who are pretending to be happy.
Okay.
Try to find the people who are lying while they're having conversations. And then when you're talking to someone, like part of my problem is that when I'm talking to someone, I'm so bored by what they're saying. That like I'm just trying to feign enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And so study their face, watch their body language while you're talking to them and see what it's telling you. And it's going to give your brain something to chew on while you're there instead of being bored numb with conversations about somebody's vacation.
Gotcha.
Okay. And one of the cool things too is like in my acting class, we learned a lot about body language. And now anytime I see someone who's fidgeting in any way or shaking their foot or, you know, a lot of times it's like bobbing their leg or shaking their foot.
Yeah.
They want to be moving. They're anxious to get moving.
Interesting.
And so even if you see people having a conversation, like in a business meeting, if one person's shaking their foot, they are not as calm as they want you to think they are.
I have a friend who shakes his leg all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's like a nervous energy.
He is a nervous guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back to the thing you just said about vacations.
Yeah.
Why do people always want to give you every single detail about a vacation that they took to a country that you've never been to?
I
I always ask when someone starts talking to me about vacations, the one thing I always ask is, what is the best thing you ate?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because that's all I care about.
Yeah, that's something you can both like bond over.
Like, I don't care about the plane ride. I don't care about how long it takes to get from this monument to that monument.
I don't care about the resort you stayed at.
No.
I'm never going to go there. I can't afford it.
No.
Don't tell me about like, ooh, a massage is involved every morning. I can't. That's not going to happen.
I also don't need details about every museum, every painting you went to.
No.
Like, I can see them all online.
Yeah, there they are. Thank you, Google.
I want to know about that amazing drink you had, or like that bowl of pasta you ate, or like the little grandma in the corner shop who like hand rolled a pastry for you or something.
Oh yeah.
Or where did you go swimming? Because I love swimming.
Oh, that's another good one. See, and these are good for me and all of us to learn. Like, ask specific questions that you actually care about and maybe that not everybody asks.
Or ask questions that might make the other person uncomfortable and then really enjoy yourself. So, that's your profession? Oh, is that lucrative?
How much? What's the starting salary for that? Have you ever made it past that starting salary?
Oh, do you think you'll work in that industry forever?
Do you think they're going to let you go?
Ooh, yeah, I heard that's not a good industry to work in right now. Ooh, tough.
The word on the street is that's going down in like 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I heard layoffs are coming around.
Oh, man. We're both like never going to get invited to parties. Okay, I have 4 more things to do to get through a party as an introvert and enjoy yourself. But first, Kathleen, I know that you and I and a lot of people are trying to be healthier, not only with the food we eat and like the stuff that we use in our home, but also the stuff we use on in our bodies.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I never thought about before until I learned about Lola is feminine care products. A lot of times, major products use a mix of synthetic ingredients in their products, like rayon and polyester, which is what you make bell bottoms out of. And you don't want that in your feminine care. They also might use harsh chemicals and cleansing agents and fragrances, and you don't want that stuff on or in your body. And that's why, Kathleen, we love Lola products. They're 100% organic cotton, no added chemicals, no added fragrances, synthetics, or dyes.
And getting your period is so much easier when you subscribe to Lola, because their subscription is fully customizable. You can choose a mix of products, a mix of absorbencies, the number of boxes that you get, and the frequency of delivery, because we've all been there. Mm-hmm. You get your period, you go into the drawer where you keep all of your sanitation products, and you're like,
oh no. And then you become an inventor. You're like, what can I use in my home to create a maxi pad? And I've personally used like toilet paper with double-sided tape, and then like that doesn't work because what is that?
But and
like,
because you walk out of your house and it falls out your pant leg.
The other cool thing is Lola is now offering cleansing wipes that are safe for use anywhere on your body. They're the first biodegradable all-natural wipe of their kind. Perfect if you like work in an office all day, perfect for like a midday refresh, individually packaged, great for flying, and they're gynecologist approved and hypoallergenic. Plus, for every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S., which I love.
That's so important. And it's a female-founded company.
We love that.
Before I was introduced to Lola, I had a tampon brand that I stuck with.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
You got rid of them?
I really love Lola.
Yeah.
And I texted all of the girls in my book club group chat.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, go to Lola.
Yeah. I went to a friend's home the other day and she runs a business from her home. She had Lola products sitting out in her like bathroom for guests as well.
And you know, every time we are asked to partner with a company that it's a product that you put on your body or in your body, we're very picky about who we choose to partner up with.
We've said no to a lot.
And Lola hit every benchmark. BPA free, environmental friendly, organic.
So we want you to try Lola for yourself. For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter the code TASTE when you subscribe. Again, to get 40% off all subscriptions, go to mylola.com and enter TASTE when you subscribe. Okay, are you ready for number 6?
I've been waiting my whole life.
All right. This is how to enjoy a party as an introvert.
Okay.
Bring a large bag or backpack with an entirely different outfit in it. Slowly, over the course of the party, change your outfit piece by piece until you're finally wearing a completely different outfit, and see how long it takes for someone to notice. You get bonus points if no one notices until the pictures are posted later and people are like, wait, Wait.
That reminds me of that movie, Can't Hardly Wait.
I've never seen it. Oh, wait, yes, I have seen it.
Yes, you have. Yes, I have. Every seen teenager it. In the 90s saw that. With Seth Green shows up to a graduation party with a backpack, like a huge backpack full of sex toys.
That's right. Jennifer Love Hewitt wears that blue tank top the whole movie.
The whole movie.
I got that idea from this video I saw that was like a former CIA disguise expert. And she teaches you how to change as you're walking down New York City streets so that like people who are looking at you, people who are watching you and tracking your movements can't see you disappear.
Well, that's like you always see in a movie where like they take their wig off, they put on glasses. Yep.
That's this, but for a party and so your friends don't think you're creepy. Okay. Number 7. Learn a new cocktail recipe ahead of time, preferably something really old-timey or really obscure that most people aren't going to know, and then bust it out of the party, impress people, teach it to them. That's going to make you feel useful, it's going to make you feel smart, and it's also going to be something that you can talk about without being bored numb with conversations about someone's vacation.
Oh, can I get you a refill? You know what? Let me just try this Tom Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Or, would you like to try my French 75?
Mm-hmm.
It's a specialty.
I just learned this thing you guys want to see, and then it's like, you know,
hey now. You know what I've actually done before? I've pre-made cocktails in a pitcher and I bring it to a party.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look fancy.
Well, you look fancy, but then everybody's like, oh, I don't have to make this cocktail or ask somebody to make it for me. It's already pre-made.
Yeah.
Let me pour that. And then they're like, oh my God, who made this fabulous cocktail? And you're like, hey, that would be me.
Hey, what's up?
Over here.
Number 8. Study their book collection. Find something that piques your interest.
But what if you decide you don't like them after you study their book collection?
This is a problem. Like, but now you have information.
Somebody might come to my house and like see the shelf that I have dedicated to Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey and be like, wow, this girl is not smart.
If they come to your house and they're shocked by that, that's on them and not you, because you are very smart and you also love Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey.
I do.
And then if you study their book, you find something that looks really interesting. Now you have a new book to look forward to.
That's true.
And then if they don't have a book collection, you know to leave the party, because who the hell are you hanging out with that doesn't have a book collection?
I don't want to be friends with anybody who doesn't have a book collection.
No. There's a t-shirt / magnet / pin at the Strand bookstore here in New York that I love so much.
Yeah.
It's a John Waters quote,
mm-hmm.
and it says, if you go home with somebody and they don't have books, don't fuck them.
Don't. Yeah. You keep your pants on. Even if you're wearing those Lucky Brand jeans when you pull down the zipper that say Lucky You.
I've never seen that.
On the crotch. Those make me really excited to pull my pants down in front of people. But even if you're wearing those and they don't have a collection of books, do not have sex with them.
No, walk away. And the number 9 tip for introverts for enjoying, not just surviving a party. If you're stuck in a conversation and you are really just like, challenge yourself to learn the person's face well enough that you'd be able to describe it to a forensic sketch artist.
That is a great skill to have.
It's because I realize that I walk away and I could never pick someone else out of a lineup again. And like, it just forces you, because I'm looking at you now and I'm noticing things about your face that I never have noticed before. And I also look like I'm listening to you.
Yes.
But I'm really not. I'm just like looking at your face.
Have you ever seen the movie Taken with Liam Neeson?
I haven't.
Okay.
And you know I love a heist.
Bethany.
I know.
This movie is so good.
It's on my list. I own it. I just haven't seen it.
So Liam Neeson's daughter in the movie, she's under a bed and she's on this burner cell phone or something. And she's talking to her dad. And her dad says to her, you're about to be taken.
I have chills. Look, I have chills.
This is what you're going to do. Keep the phone next to you. And when they take you, shout out every physical characteristic that you can see so I can hear it. And then they'll take you, but then I'll know who I'm looking for.
But like, wouldn't they just kill her now that they know that she knows who they are?
Nope, but because she was a very valuable American girl.
Oh.
And they were going to sell her into sex trade.
Oh.
Yeah.
I really need to see. See, people make fun of those of us who like true crime too.
Yeah.
But like, you learn so much listening to true crime, watching these movies. This is just like a font of information.
You learn how to protect yourself. So, you know, they come into the bedroom, they find her under the bed, they pull her out. She leaves the phone under the bed or next to the bed, and she's yelling, snake tattoo, 6 feet, brown hair, you know, stuff like that.
Ah, it's so cool.
And then her father knew who to look for.
Oh, that's cool. Who would have thought that Liam Neeson would be like this action star? Not me.
Or, I just thought of this. If somebody tries to take you,
yeah,
She's like, I took your photo. I have a camera. I took your photo.
But then, see, here's the problem. If you're not a valuable American white blonde girl,
could get you killed.
Could get you killed. I like to do the thing whenever I'm taken of pulling a hoodie down over my head and then pulling the drawstring. So it's just a tiny hole for my nose to stick through and saying, I didn't see nothing. Go about your business.
Or if somebody takes you, reverse psychology on them. Use reverse psychology. I don't really like my life anyway. So this is great. I was looking for a second shot.
Totally. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are there
so
any
much.
Internship opportunities in the cartel that you're working for?
Do you have any eligible bachelors in your gang?
I'm really looking for a tall, slightly frightening man to just sort of take me around the world on adventures.
Yeah.
But I'm real clingy.
Show me a good time through crime.
I just want to know that I'm pretty every day. I just want you to hold me. Am I pretty now? Tell me I'm pretty now. I want to be pretty. And then see if they just let you go because you're annoying.
Because you're very annoying.
You just get so clingy to your captor.
Or your captor trusts you and then eventually you can get away. Right?
Or fake an asthma attack. That also works.
That is a good one. Or you fake a seizure.
Oh, gosh. I don't even know what that would look like.
There's a story that came out of Oakland. What's the famous? Oh, the BART system. They have okay. That's their subway transportation.
Oh, okay.
In San Francisco in the Bay Area. And the story came out, it was last year or 2 years ago, where the girl was about to be robbed.
Ugh.
The guy was trying to hold her up, take her purse, and she just fell on the floor. There are other people on the train, but he did it very discreetly.
Yeah.
Give me your purse. I'm going to hurt you right now.
Oh God.
And she dropped to the floor and started shaking her body like she was having a seizure. Cause then you draw attention to yourself. People think you need medical attention. And sure enough, that guy just left.
Smart girl. That's why they say to yell fire, not help.
Yes.
Because people will run for fire. There was, this happened to me literally yesterday on the train. I was heading somewhere on the train. I wasn't paying attention. I was trying to do work on my phone. And so I wasn't holding on when the train lurched forward.
Yeah.
So I fell backwards and a man caught me and I spun around to thank him. And he lifted his hands like, I wasn't touching you on purpose. I'm sorry. And I pulled my headphones off and I said, no, I wasn't mad at you. Thank you for catching me.
Yeah.
That was really, really nice of you. And he and I sat next to each other and we talked the rest of the train ride. And he is kind of this guardian angel that walks around New York and is out to, he teaches self-defense for free to college freshmen at NYU.
No wonder he pulled his hands away. So he knows.
Because I think he saw me spin around and he was afraid I was going to yell at him.
Yeah.
And he said, he has seen people on the train before. He has seen men caressing women's hair or touching women without the woman really even realizing it. And he said he has jumped on those guys and been knock it the hell off.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that I've had that interaction where someone literally had my back and I was able to say thank you and learn more about this person. And he's a scary looking dude.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice to know we got one of those scary looking dudes on our side.
Hell
walking around the city and just making sure. He's had women, I don't know, people just are drawn to him, I think, but he had a woman ask him if he would watch out for her while she went into a bank vestibule because there was a guy inside kind of passed out.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. So he just stood outside and watched and made sure she was okay. It was fascinating.
I had a woman once tap me on the shoulder. I was wearing a flowy dress. It was 100 degrees outside and in the subway, it's even hotter. And she said, listen, the guy behind you is looking down the back of your dress. Which is why everybody needs disguises.
Yes.
Because if you take the same route to and from work every day, you should look like a different person every day.
You have to be on your game.
Yeah.
I was pissed at myself yesterday that I was on my phone so much for work because I was I wasn't paying attention.
I think about that too. And sometimes I'm if I'm dead, they're going to be well, she was just another one of those people.
On her phone.
On their phone, not paying attention. Every time I take an Uber or a Lyft or any sort of ride share by myself, I always take a screenshot of the information that app provides to me and I text it to somebody.
Oh, that's smart.
Because if you don't, and then that Uber driver decides to take you.
Yeah, go crazy.
It happens.
And or it's also just good, if you forgot your purse.
Yes.
I always get a receipt, too, so I know who to call in case I left something in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be so careful. But I think if in that care, you make it fun for yourself, and so maybe you do pretend that you're a spy and you have to make sure to gather all this information, you might as well make life fun while you're taking care of yourself.
And it's a really good skill to have to pay attention to detail
yeah.
in that manner.
Yeah, you're right. And we do it less and less.
Absolutely. Wait, how did we get on this topic? We were talking about parties a second ago.
We were talking about parties.
Is there anything left on your list?
That's it. That's the entirety of the list. But I can we like post it
Absolutely.
On our website
yeah,
like and post, on our social?
Yeah, we'll post it on our website and AnAcquiredTastePodcast@gmail. I'm sorry. That's our... Our website is anacquiredtastepodcast.com.
I was listening to a podcast once where the guy accidentally gave out his personal phone number instead of the station line because he was just so tired. But like his co-host caught him before he gave it all out.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's like when somebody posts a celebrity's phone number.
Yes. Or they post, I saw a picture of a celebrity once. They were doing a profile of the celebrity's dog because the celebrity's dog is very famous. Mm-hmm. And the picture of the dog clearly had the celebrity's phone number on the tag.
Because
you know, if lost.
Yes, call you know, blah, blah, blah.
Vince Vaughn at blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what ended up happening, but I was able to zoom in and see the phone number.
That is so funny.
So I'm imagining that
they're out of $10. They had to buy a new tag for their dog.
And a new phone number.
And a new phone number. Speaking of phone numbers, yes. We did something so cool.
Kathleen did something so cool and keeps giving me joint credit for it.
We have an official Acquired Taste voicemail box now.
Woo!
And we've been getting messages like crazy.
We are so excited. We're excited for the sober ones. We're excited for the drunk ones. We're excited for the shower ones.
Somebody just called the other day and they're like, hey, girls. Love you. Just wanted to tell you that I had a really bad day at work, but I'm watching Marvelous Mrs. Maisel now, and it's all good.
Good. We love that. What's the phone number?
Oh, our phone number is 917-994-0353. But if you don't have a pen right now, just head over to our Instagram page. You know how people have highlights, their story highlights saved on the top of their page?
Yeah.
That's where you can find it. There's a little circle that says call us with a phone icon on it. If you click on that, you can get our number.
Fabulous. Kathleen, I'm so excited. We have a new partner for the podcast.
I wish I could get married again and use all of the amazing services that Zola has to offer.
They take the stress out of wedding planning with free wedding websites, your dream wedding registry, affordable save the dates and invitations, and easy to use planning tools. So when you're stressed out planning your wedding, Zola is point one to go to. Over 500,000 couples have used Zola. It conveniently manages everything online in one place, so it saves so much time for couples who are planning their wedding.
In one place makes a huge amount of difference because when you have registries here and registries there, I built my own wedding website. I did HTML and built my own site. I would have loved to have Zola at the time that I got married.
And they start you off. You get a free wedding website. That's the first place you start. It's easy. It takes just minutes. You don't need to code. They make it easy to personalize your favorite design with all of your wedding details. You can add photos. You can add stories about how you two met. If you haven't met the person yet, you can just leave that spot blank.
That's always,
and fill in their name later.
That makes for an interesting wedding.
Plus, they have an FAQ section for your website to help those awkward questions like, can I bring my kids? And then you just write no. And then it's like, do I have a plus one? And then you just write no. Can I get wasted at your wedding? And then you just write
yes. Yes. One of my favorite things about Zola is that building your dream registry truly is your dream registry because they partner with companies that you can't typically register for, like Airbnb.
And you can put your Zola registry on your wedding website so guests can get all the details about your wedding and they can buy your wedding gift all in one convenient and very beautiful place.
Yes. Register for brands that you love, not stores that you kind of love.
Yeah. Guests can get free shipping and returns, price matching, more. The other cool thing too is you can register for funds for your honeymoon or future home or new puppy or pet lizard. Like people can like group donate to gifts. There's just so many options. You can even register for like Hulu.
Love that.
P.S. Zola has the best completion discount. You get 20% off remaining gifts that are on your registry.
Hello.
So like the day after you get married, if there's something that someone didn't buy you, you can get it for yourself for 20% off.
Okay. So let me get this straight. Guests get free shipping.
Yeah.
So they'll spend more on you.
Yes.
Because shipping is free.
Yeah.
And then anything that you didn't get, you get 20% off of.
Yes.
That's huge.
It's insane. I hope we're understanding that correctly.
To start your free wedding website and also get $50 off of your your registry on Zola, go to Zola.com/taste. That's Zola, Zola.com/taste, T-A-S-T-E. Again, to get your free wedding website and get $50 off of your registry. That's like a couple of plates for free.
Hell yeah.
Go to Zola.com, Zola.com/taste, T-A-S-T-E.
Okay, so Kathleen, one thing I was looking at when we were going through our group Facebook page, people were saying they wanted us to kind of look back on the last year and see like where we were last year, where we are this year, and like one big thing you learned from the year. And I think everyone can do this because I think if you don't know what you've learned, you're not going forward with your eyes open.
Yeah.
So what's like been the biggest thing either that you've like overcome or that you learned this year, do you think?
This year has been a strange year.
Yeah.
Well, you and I used to work together.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And then you quit your job.
Yeah, I left.
To follow your dreams.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, damn, she's brave.
Thanks. It doesn't feel brave. It felt...
Necessary.
It felt like I was running away from regret, from potential regret.
That's an interesting way to put it.
Does that make sense?
If I don't try this, I will regret it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
That's a really good motto to have in life.
I think it feels more doable than being brave, because being brave seems hard and running away from something seems easy.
Yeah.
So I just run away from potential regret. What else has changed in your life? What have you learned? We're getting very NPR about this.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about this in a way that applies to almost anything that happens to you in your life.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that I learned this year is that sometimes you just have to take the crap that life throws at you one day at a time.
For sure. For sure.
We didn't know if this podcast was going to continue for like a good 2 months in 2018.
Yeah.
Which was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
For us, because more important than anything to me is building the community of Taste Buds that we have.
Yeah.
Of people who are a little bit weird.
Yeah, the misfit toys.
People who, yeah, feel like they don't belong to a particular group in this life.
Mm-hmm.
We're like the church with the open doors.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Or
that's a good way to put it.
If church is not your thing, the community center.
The buffet. Everyone loves a buffet.
I love a buffet.
The buffet with the open doors.
And we've got endless red warming lamps for whatever needs to be warmed in your life. Food. Your heart.
Yeah.
Your relationship.
Yeah.
Your relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
This year, more than any year, I think my takeaway is you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing that you can't do.
And that's a really simple thing to say. And you can just listen to it and go, yeah, whatever. But if you really sit down and think about it,
mm-hmm.
You have to take it seriously. And it's very deep and very meaningful. Sometimes we don't do something until we're forced to realize that this is our reality and we have to figure it out now.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people, like I'm a procrastinator. I leave tomorrow for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I won't pack until tonight when I should have packed a while ago. I'm not going to like pay my credit card until it's too late. I'm not going to do my script revisions on this thing I'm working on until they're due in an hour.
Yeah.
And once it becomes your reality, you're like, well, I got to figure it out. I can do it because
yep.
I have to. And I think that that's a really good thing to realize.
There's nothing you can't do. Mm-hmm. And I feel a little bit like we're scrolling through Pinterest right now, looking for daily inspiration.
Looking for quotes written over the sunset.
But what seems insurmountable today, in a week, it was just, oh, that thing that you did.
Yeah. And you got it done. But now give yourself credit for getting it done.
Absolutely.
It's really funny you say like this podcast had a fraught year.
Yeah, we had the worst year ever.
You guys, this is just
slash the best year ever.
I mean, we've really, I always forget that it was in 2018 that I left our job.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and now we're doing the show with the two of us and like, and that's all from, a good place and a place of love and
yeah.
we're moving forward and it's great. But it was like twice that the show maybe wasn't going to keep going. And Kathleen and I joked, because you all know that we went to the Work It Festival, this podcasting festival.
Yeah, for women in podcasting.
Yeah, and we're going to legit submit a panel idea for next year on how to get through hardships, because this podcast has like everything has been thrown at us.
Yeah.
To try and make sure that we couldn't keep going. And not out of spite or anything, but just like so many things happened. Like, we didn't know if it would continue after I left the company we were at, because it was through the company. Like, we didn't know if we could keep our name. We didn't know if we could keep our theme song. We didn't know if we could keep anything.
We literally didn't even know how to plug microphones into a computer,
like,
to record a podcast.
The night, it was like 9:30 at night, I don't know, on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And we had to release the episode Wednesday. And Kathleen and I are in Kitchen Studio NYC. We're tired, we're crabby, we're panicking, we're watching YouTube videos to try and figure out how to make our computers work with our hardware.
By the way, YouTube, one of life's greatest resources.
Oh, just like so helpful.
I don't want to lament too long on this podcast and how hard we worked to keep it afloat in the year 2018.
I just think it's more funny than anything else.
But so many of you reached out to us and it felt good.
Yeah.
To know that people cared.
Yeah. This is really just, I don't know. Even if you are listening and you've never engaged online or anything with anybody else from the podcast, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But just like the fact that you are listening to this, it blows our minds, and we're really, really touched and very honored.
On Facebook, there's an Acquired Taste podcast fan group.
Mm-hmm.
I urge anybody who just needs a friend, who needs someone or a group of people to bounce ideas off of, join that group.
They're amazing. They're doing a Secret Santa right now.
They are a family.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
They are our family.
Yeah.
Aside from this, Bethany, what would you say your greatest moment of 2018 was?
Oh, man. This year has been amazing. And it's also been really hard.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's been three. And I feel like I'm really lucky that I can say that. I think one of them was the moment that I announced I was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a move that almost, I would say 99.5% of people would never have thought was the smart thing to do.
Well, you quit your job to follow your dreams.
Like, I quit a job that was paying my rent and it was affording me trips and, you know, meeting all these famous people. And like it, and that job is a lot of people's dream job. And so to leave it was very mind-boggling for a lot of people.
This also contributes to something that I learned this year. Just because something was your dream once upon a time doesn't mean it needs to be your dream forever.
Great point.
And when you open your heart and your head to the fact that your dreams are allowed to evolve and change and end and start, it makes you a better person.
Totally.
It makes you a person who's always looking to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And who's always looking for opportunities.
And this comes full circle back to the conversation about like taking the stigma away from canceling your wedding.
Yeah.
That maybe was your dream at one point. You're allowed to say, my dreams have changed. My dreams have evolved.
Hashtag quit your job.
Quit your job.
No, that's joking.
Hashtag, you should be smart about it, but yeah.
Hashtag things are allowed to change.
Yeah, totally. Another one was when I have this project that I wrote about a year and a half ago.
A script.
Mm-hmm. And I submitted it to get a grant to produce like a proof of concept to try and sell it.
Yeah.
And I found out, I think it was like March or April that I got the grant. So mm-hmm. That was another one. And it came like almost to the day, I think 2 months after I left our job.
Yeah.
And so that was like a good sign saying like, hey, this is, you're moving in the right direction. The third was getting back into doing aerial and getting as strong as I used to be. Because if you're like, I think a lot of us, which is that you're not super physical, mm-hmm. and like maybe gym wasn't your thing, and maybe like you were chubby and like you just, your body was something you were detached from. Finding out that your body can do things you had no idea it could do is mind blowing.
Yeah.
And to learn that if you let it, your body can be so strong and it can like pull you places, and you just, I had never given my body credit for doing anything.
Your body is so much stronger than you know.
Yeah. And so I think finding something that allowed me to realize that was also a big thing. My body and I still like constantly see like a like there's a demarcation around, like along my throat.
Yeah.
Where it's like my head versus the rest of me. And a lot of times it's my head looking at the rest of me and going, what?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? But trying to come to more peace with that is, I think, a journey a lot of us are on, and finding that thing that temporarily at least allows you and your body to be on the same side of things mm-hmm. is a really important thing. And that's why I think that people love CrossFit so much, even though I think it's terrifying and a little bit of a cult. Good for you.
It's a cult, but like, man, you're making it happen.
It's a strong cult. because the thing I love about that is it's like functional movements. Yeah. So it's like you're lifting tires and throwing them, because in real life, sometimes you need to lift things, right? Yeah. Like you're screaming while climbing walls. I don't know what people do in CrossFit.
Listen, I'm not here to judge.
No.
Like if you want to carry your CrossFit partner on your back and run around the block.
I mean, I think those are great skills. And look, your body sometimes needs to pick somebody up and carry them around a block. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fun to realize that like those are things you can actually do, and it's not just for someone else.
Absolutely.
Your body is also to be used, not just someone else's. I came out wrong.
No, it didn't. I would say my top three.
Yeah.
This year would be number one. I started my own business with you.
Yes.
Like
this became a business.
And
we have to shout out to Audio Boom, by the way.
They took us on under their wing. That's the company that sells the ads on this podcast that makes this podcast possible.
And they are the ones who understand when we say like no to some partners, which is why you can trust that the partnerships we take are ones we believe in. They're just great. They're just such a great company. We love them so much.
So starting our own business.
Yeah.
I got my start in the work field. My first internship was with this woman who was an entrepreneur.
Yeah. It was in fashion, right?
It was in fashion. And she really taught me that you just do it. You just get it done.
Yeah.
She also taught me that being a woman entrepreneur, a female entrepreneur, is not easy. And you have to work every single day of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost that for a while. For a while, I was like, nah, I never want to work for myself. That seems complicated.
Yeah.
And then when you and I started an LLC, we started this little media company for this podcast. I have a fire lit under my butt.
I have. You do. I've never seen you like this.
And I have business plans for 2019. I'm going to write a business plan and look for investors.
For real?
For a project that I am dying to launch.
I don't even know how to write a business plan.
No, I mean, I just bought How to Write a Business Plan for Dummies.
This is great.
I thought about getting my MBA, but I was like, well, I can just Google that.
That sounds hard and expensive.
Yes, it does. The second thing that I did this year that was sort of momentous for me is I had been keeping a secret for 20 years. And something happened and I was forced to tell somebody about that secret.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to say that secret?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that's okay.
Maybe I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
In 2019.
Okay.
But this particular thing had been weighing on my soul for 20 years. And I never told anybody. And then one day I just said it. I said it to Bethany. I said it to my husband. I said it to Sam. And it felt good. So if you have a secret that is eating away at you, I want you to think about telling someone, because it will change your life. Wow, this just got dark.
No, it didn't get dark at all.
And I want to be able to talk about it moving forward in the podcast in 2019, mm-hmm. but there are some things I need to organize.
Yeah, and there's no rush, and I didn't mean to like put that on you to see if you would tell it.
No.
It's something that you are not alone in, and it's something that you've been handling with such grace, and I'm really, really proud of you and excited for you that you are giving yourself permission to talk about it and that you feel safe to do it.
Thank you.
And I'm also proud of you that you're not talking about it before you're ready.
Yes.
Because that's not going to serve you at all. But I think you are a good example of being brave, moving forward, like,
thank you.
Handling stuff that isn't fun or fair.
No.
And not making excuses.
And then I'm
also, you're just the prettiest crier.
Oh,
and I've said
it.
This to you before and it pisses me off. Because when Kathleen, gentle listener, when Kathleen cries, first of all, she has this long hair that is gently draped over her shoulder in a braid, and she has like these glasses on. So she looks like a Blake Lively princess. And then she cries and it's one tear that goes down her cheek and her lip kind of quivers, but her face never turns red the way that ours does when we cry.
Well, because you're not practicing in the mirror like I do, obviously.
Kathleen is just the prettiest crier and it's not fair.
Oh, you're very kind.
I'm not pissed.
And the third thing that I'm thankful for this year and a lesson that I learn continuously from is something that is always on my list every year.
What's that?
And that is my husband.
Yes, he's the best.
Because every year we're married, he proves to me time and time again that I don't have to be the same person that I was when we met, when we got married. He lets me change. He lets me grow. And we still like each other. He still likes me.
That's huge.
I'm like version 16.7, like iOS operating system.
It's amazing how many couples don't like each other.
Yeah.
Like you may love someone and not like them. And your marriage is so cool because you two clearly do like each other.
Yeah, we do. And always, I think, if you're about to marry somebody or if you're dating somebody who doesn't celebrate your successes or you don't care about their successes or that person really doesn't have a lot of drive in their life, why are you with them? Because everybody changes. Yeah. When you're 16, when you're 23, when you're 37, you're different versions of yourself and you can't be with somebody for the long run.
Yeah.
If they don't accept that, you're going to be an constantly changing, ever evolving human.
Yeah. I have my great uncle and his wife have been together. I think they're in their 90s now.
Holy
They've
mackerel.
Been together the whole time and they attribute it to luck. And they say it's just because we happen to both grow in the same direction. And, you know, it is. You're going to grow. You're going to evolve. And if you don't have a partner who lets you or you don't let your partner, you're going to get stifled.
Yeah.
You're going to be stuck. And you two are pretty great together.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So yeah, 2019, big things.
Big things. Do the same thing for yourself. Go back and think about like the three things you're really proud of or that really shaped you.
Yes.
And we would love to hear them, by the way. I know that you guys are all in the secret Facebook group, which is pretty great. There's also a public one if you want to like pop on over. Let us know on Facebook, facebook.com/acquiredtastepodcast. What are your top three things that you learned this year that you're proud of?
Yeah, you know what, Bethany and I are actually going to put out a bonus episode.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, right before the new year. So we're asking for voice notes and emails about the most important lesson that you took away this year. It could be funny. It could be heartfelt. It could be sad. If you want to call our Google Voice line and leave us a voicemail and do it that way, because you never know, something that really touched you or changed you might be the aha moment that somebody else listening to this needs to hear.
Totally. Bonus points if you can make them funny. All right, Kathleen.
Yeah.
I know that you are a trailblazer.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. But some people kind of need to wait until a lot of other people have done something until they're willing to do something. I count myself among those. And that's why I finally, not too long ago, jumped on the Third Love bandwagon.
Oh,
because over 10 million women have taken their Fit Finder quiz to date. And after 10 million, that's when I feel like it's probably safe to like join.
I'm never going to go back to another bra company ever again. That is the God's honest truth.
They're so comfortable, so amazing, so high quality. They have premium fabrics. They have expert design. And this Fit Finder quiz really is a game changer. So it's fun. It takes less than a minute to complete. And the thing we've talked about before is that breast shape matters as much as anything else. They help you find your breast size, find your shape, find styles that fit your body. And they have double the number of sizes than most other brands offer. So cups from A through H, bands up to 48. If you're someone listening to this who doesn't wear a bra and has no idea what that means, just believe us that that's amazing and very helpful.
I'm a half cup size.
Yeah.
I have never once been to a store where they had a half cup size.
No, they don't do that.
Putting on my underwear in the morning is a delight.
And they have 100% fit guarantee. They have incredible customer service, and their team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. So if you don't love their product, returns and exchanges are always free and super easy.
One thing I really love about Third Love is their tagless labels.
Yes.
Because how many of us have been plagued by a dress that we thought was uncomfortable or a garment that we thought was uncomfortable, but it was actually the tag on our bra digging into our back.
Or it's if you're wearing a tank top and it sticks up past out, like out the band.
Yeah.
And you have this tag sticking out.
I have clothes that I used to not wear because I thought they looked bad, but I was just wearing a bad bra underneath them.
Yeah. And Third Love takes their customer input seriously. They recently launched their most requested style, which is the cotton t-shirt bras and their cotton underwear. It took them 2 years to develop and perfect this collection, so you know that it's what you want.
Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everybody. So right now, they're offering our listeners 15% off of their first order. All you have to do is go to thirdlove.com/taste and find your perfect fitting bra. That's 15% off. That's a big deal. Go to thirdlove.com/taste. That's T-A-S-T-E to find your perfect fitting bra. You won't regret it. Your boobs will be in love with you.
Again, that's thirdlove.com/taste to get 15% off today.
Okay, Bethany, let's try something. I want you to stand up.
Okay.
Get off your podcasting stool.
Get up my ass.
And I think anybody can do this over the holiday break.
Okay.
Spending time with your family.
Yes.
At work when it's really cold in the winter.
Yes.
Shake your body right now. Doesn't that feel good?
It feels good. Wait, I have to stretch my back.
It feels like we just had a cup of coffee. All right, one more time. You ready?
Yeah.
Shake your booty now. I like to just kind of let my jowls loose. And then when I shake my body, they make that noise.
Like a bulldog.
So since we already did what we learned this year.
Yeah.
Let's change things up a little bit.
Okay.
Yesterday I saw Bethany do the most heinous thing.
What did I do?
Bethany, you went outside on New York City streets.
Yeah.
With only your socks on.
Okay.
And then when I chastised you, you said, well, at least I have socks on. Usually I do this barefoot.
Yes.
No.
Okay. I was bringing garbage out. Right. So I only had to walk like a few steps to the garbage and throw the garbage away. And I had socks on. So nope. Then they were thick socks. Like what is the difference between having socks on and walking around and having shoes on? There's no difference.
Girlfriend.
I'm not walking in puddles.
I support anybody who wants to live their life on the edge.
Yeah.
This is too edgy for
me. What is wrong with it? I came back inside and threw the socks in the threw them in the laundry.
It is a New York City street.
This is one thing that I have a hard time internalizing is germs.
Okay.
Like it just doesn't enter my consciousness. What is gross about what is gross? Like it's if I'm just walking along a sidewalk that is dry and I'm not stepping in gum. There's not a puddle of something red. Like then it's just a street to me and everything is fine. So I've walked out to the garbage in barefoot before because the skin on the bottom of my feet is super tough. It feels like leather. I have really thick, tough feet. I know intellectually that it's gross, but I cannot internalize that gross feeling. And so I don't have a problem with it.
The one really gross thing that I do is I eat food that's expired.
How expired?
So like if there's mold on one side of the orange.
Okay. No.
I cut it off.
No, because you know the mold grows before you can see it.
If I can't taste it, it's fine.
That's horrifying.
Nope. And like a strawberry, like if there's a little bit of white fur on the outside of it, I scrape it off with my finger and rinse it off.
Wait, you just scrape it? You don't even cut that part off?
Yeah, sometimes I just scrape it.
I don't want to touch the mold.
Berries are soft. It comes off.
But they're maybe soft because it's moldy.
No, it's I like overripe fruit.
Blech. Okay, see, you cannot judge me because of how gross you are.
You know when you have a bag of spinach and some of it gets slimy?
Oh, God.
I pick out the leaves that are still good.
No, Kathleen, it's been marinating
in
that.
I don't want to be wasteful.
But you also don't want to be disgusting, and that is disgusting.
No, I rinse off the leaves that I pick out of the slimy bag.
Okay, good. So you just give them a gentle shower. You give all the grossness a gentle shower.
So I guess we're both gross. I take back what I said about you walking barefoot. Walk barefoot, whatever.
No, I mean, it was very Britney Spears, you know, 2006 of me. 19. When did she walk? Whatever. It was very Britney Spears, early 2000s of me.
Leave Britney alone.
Let's change the subject. What did you learn this week, Kathleen?
Okay. It's sort of silly, but it's fascinating.
Okay.
The fingerprints of a koala are so indistinguishable from human fingerprints that they, on occasion, have been confused at a crime scene. Now,
why is a koala walking around a crime scene?
How many crime scenes involve koalas?
And why? That seems suspect.
I read it on the internet.
Okay. What website is it?
Google.com.
Google the dodo.
Oh, I believe the dodo.
Yeah, I believe the dodo too. They have all these fabulous videos on Facebook about little kittens being rehabilitated and oh man.
Yeah, they make me cry on the regular.
They suck me in.
Every time.
I just thought of a really good new TV show concept about a koala who's a detective.
Oh, but he keeps getting himself in trouble because his fingerprints keep showing up.
Exactly.
I love this.
I have a new script for you to write, Bethany.
Okay, good.
What did you learn this week?
I learned about this amazing, you know, I don't do great with children.
Yeah.
But I heard about these two comedians who post videos of their kids online, and their kids are so naturally funny that they're just brilliant. I heard about them on Las Culturistas. Mm-hmm. They call them like the best comedy duo in New York City, these two little kids. So you have to follow them. So follow, the mom is Beth Newell, and she's just at Beth N-E-W-L-L on Instagram. And then the dad is Peter McNerney, I think is how you pronounce his last name. And he's just McNen, M-I-C-N-E-N. And their children are hilarious. Hold on. So it's a little girl and a little boy. The boy's older than the girl.
I'm a girl. You're a boy. You're Beth. Daddy is Peter.
That's right.
You're Beth.
That's my name.
One is a boy. And I'm a girl.
Yeah, I'm a girl too.
No, you're...
Daddy's a boy and I'm a boy.
No, you're a boy. Daddy's a Peter. You're Beth.
Daddy's a Peter, you're a Beth. And then the argument devolves into the mom saying, I'm also a girl, and the daughter saying, no, you're a Beth.
You're a Beth.
They're adorable and lovely, so you should definitely follow them on Instagram. That's what I learned this week. We would also love it if you would follow us on Instagram. Follow us at Acquired Taste Podcast.
We're also on Twitter, Acquired Podcast.
Again, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Acquired Taste Podcast.
If you want to send us an email with your thoughts, concerns, pictures of your cat, you can reach us at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We also have a P.O. Box, and Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, the new newest of the jerseys, 07030.
We got an incredible amount of Christmas cards from everybody. We are so thankful.
We read all of them. We love you all. You guys are amazing.
When I checked our P.O. box, I was walking out of the post office. People were staring at me.
They were like, she's so popular.
The envelopes were so many beautiful colors.
They were so pretty.
They were jelly.
Yeah. Well, okay. Never say that again.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. By the way, it would do us a great service if you all would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes and wherever you listen. That just helps push us up in the ratings so more people can find us and we can prove to our parents that we're doing something worthwhile.
I know we started the episode like this, Bethany, but I feel that it is appropriate to end the episode like this too.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Cheers to 2019!
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! Take your shirt off!